Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I am your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. Today we're going to be talking about our evolving humanity through time at large scale as a species and where we will go from here. And before we dive into that, quick shout out to new listeners in Mumbai, India, is Samvan Kliye Danivad. Thank you for this connection. We're so glad to have you on board. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas, you can go to the website at katherinecolleen.com. The link is in the show notes. Follow the instructions there, sign up for the email list, and just write me back. Let me know what you're thinking and how I can help. So let's dive into it. This is an interesting question. So we've seen before that society evolves along the same cycle of stages that we as individuals do, because society is just a collection of individuals. And humanity has been evolving through the cycle of development since the beginning. If you were to plot major eras on the cycle, you would see it kind of moving forward through stages and then being pulled back and then moving forward and then being pulled back. And it's kind of two steps forward and one step back and two steps forward and one step back. And you can see how we seem to oscillate forward and backwards, but overall we're moving further. Overall, we're moving to the right. Now, taken in the context of a cycle, we go around and around and around, but we spend more and more time in later stages getting further each time. So, what pulls us backwards? What kind of halts our forward progress as a species through these stages and pulls us backwards? If you chart it out, and online in the article that goes with this podcast, you can see I've kind of done some preliminary charting out there, some quick little graphics there, but it's war and economic disaster, mostly war. War will have a much bigger effect, but economic disaster will also have the effect of pulling us backwards. So if you look at all the times that we went what I'll call backwards as a species, that is, we were pulled around to earlier stages again of the cycle, war causes everyone involved to be pulled back around to stage three. I am my needs. I don't care if you're the aggressor or the other party. It's about survival. And survival is all those involved can focus on. It's hard to focus on concepts of the divine and questioning ideas when you don't even know if your loved ones might make it through the day. War in this way, but also sometimes economic depression, delays the progress of humanity at large, but it does not ultimately prevent it. It just delays it. So that's the good news. But the better news is, look at how fast each turn around the cycle takes. So if you go back, I mean Stone Age, Bronze Age, Iron Age, you're talking about thousands of years each. And then when you move forward into the Islamic Golden Age, the Age of Discovery, the Protestant Reformation, the Renaissance, you're talking hundreds of years each. And then we get into things like the Roaring Twenties and the Civil Rights Movement, and we're in tens of years each. So you see my point. We're going from thousands of years each to go around the cycle, to hundreds of years going around the cycle, to tens of years to go around the cycle before something kind of pulls us back again. And then every time that we come around, we're doing it faster and we're getting farther. Our progress is exponential. We're moving from one stage to another, and it used to take thousands of years, then hundreds of years, then tens of years. We are moving forward at an exponential pace. We have the potential to easily see the next two steps very soon indeed. So where does it go from here? So let me give you some examples. Things like the civil rights movement would have encompassed stages like 5.5 to about 8.5. Kind of, you know, the hippie movements would have been about 5.5 to about 10, stage 10. The information age is very stage 6 and 7, live and let live, and then questioning everything. But then we had things in there recently like conflict in the Middle East that kind of pulled us back to stage 5 and put us on pause recently. Postmodernism would have kept us back in 5, 6, 7, especially stage 7, questioning everything for a while there. But as you've noticed recently, more people researching things like consciousness, exploring things like energy work, more and more people, so us as humanity, a larger percentage, becoming aware of and curious about these things. And then we had the pandemic hit, and that was a global scale effect. I'm not certain, other than the asteroid that took out the dinosaurs, if we've seen anything of this kind of global scale before. So what happened? Everybody went into lockdown. Worldwide. This is what's so fascinating. What did that do? It put us all into stage 3. It was like this global reset back to stage 3. Sucks, because we were really, really making good progress. But we all got pulled back to stage 3. Well, what's going to happen then? Well, exactly what did happen. The next thing that happened is people started thinking about each other. And it was beautiful. They were singing on the balconies in Italy and getting together to feed the truck drivers that were getting goods all around the country. Clapping and cheering for medical workers as they changed shift. And it was beautiful. It was stage 4. But you know what comes next. Stage 5. Ideology. And things get political, and there's riots, and there's protests. And as of the moment when I'm recording this right now, that's where we're at. And because it's an election year, that's going to continue, probably, through the election. But then I expect things to bump on forward into stage 6, live and let live, and calm the F down. So then what? Then we as a humanity, as a global humanity, are released. And if you're living in a country where it's not an election year, good for you. You are already released to move back forward. So what comes next? If you notice this kind of oscillation, right? We go forward, we go backwards. We go further forward. We go backwards, but not as far as we did. We go further forward. We go backwards, but not as far as before, right? So every time we oscillate, we go forward even further. So that's where we're going to go. We're going to keep going forward. There will be things that will kind of pull us back. But if you take a look at the charts that go with these, and these are rudimentary, of course, but they're very telling. They look like what's called an Elliott wave. An Elliott wave, this is a cool pattern that you see in stock charts. So if you Google this, you're probably going to see something come up in like Investopedia or something. And they talk about an Elliott wave. An Elliott wave is a formation that you will spot in a stock chart. And I'll explain how this matters in a minute, where it goes up, and then it goes down a little bit, then it goes up further, goes down a little bit, and it goes up further. So it takes three steps up with little breaks in between. And then it comes down. It goes up a little bit and comes down. And it's a really interesting formation and one that stock traders like to rely on quite a bit, among other things. But why does that matter? Because what is the stock market but a track of human emotion? Human emotion, human reaction, human choices that are just playing out in the realm of money and business and stocks. And so you see the same thing here if you turn the chart sideways. And check out the article at katherinecolleen.com to see the charts that I'm talking about. If you turn the chart sideways, it looks like an Elliott wave. It's like, oh, this is interesting. So if you take it from that perspective, for the stock traders out there, you'll enjoy this. You would expect it to then to go up. So we're expecting another move up. Either way, we're going to keep moving forward. And that's what's really exciting. So while trading stocks and betting on the interplay of the currency of nations seems like a financial task, it's really an exercise in understanding human behavior. And so much as of what we do as a species can be viewed this way. So if we don't delay ourselves again with any new wars or the next pandemic to come down the road, because I'm sure there will be another at some point, then our next move would be a major move up to stages 7 through 11. 11 being something we haven't really hit yet. We've had a taste of 10, but we got pulled back fairly quickly. So I predict two eras to come. And I need to find better names for these. Right now I'm calling them the knowledge era and the wisdom era. But the knowledge age would see the overwhelming majority of humanity in stages 7 through 9. So this would be kind of a stage 8 society, which we've talked about before, where there are more people in stage 8 than any other stage. But significant portions of the population, stage 7 and 9, right? Think of a normal curve. So you'd have most people in stage 8, and you'd have big chunks of population flanking that in stages 7 and 9. That's an awfully exciting society to live in. It's a largely peaceful and economically prosperous society. It's marked by innovation, purpose-driven work, and a focus on understanding consciousness. You can see we were damn near there, and we will be there again. So that's our next move, is to go back there. So you can see the foundations of that society peeking out around the corners of our current pre-pandemic Western world. Innovation is popular. It's encouraged within the technology sector, and that's a good start. The idea of a purpose-driven life and a purpose-driven work model is gaining popularity. And the medical profession is beginning to research consciousness as a mainstream area of study. So this was all indications of coming into something that's a little bit more stage 8 in terms of a society. But at the moment, there are just too many people in stages 3 and 5, needs and ideology, to allow innovation, purpose-driven work, and understanding of consciousness to become the main thing across even Western society. But we will get there soon enough. I think that's where we're going, in my opinion. So what does that look like? Well, the knowledge age would look like a society where innovation is encouraged and expected in all sectors and all industries, not just technology, where career counseling and education focuses on helping people find their purpose and their passion and crafting a career from that, rather than picking a career and trying to become passionate about it. And where the study of consciousness is so mainstream that it's part of biology and psychology classes that are taught at the high school level. That's how you really know something has become mainstream, as it starts showing up in high school textbooks. So the knowledge age might this concept of a stage eight society might seem like an outdated term to call it the knowledge age. After all, didn't we already see the knowledge economy come and go? Well, yes, we did. But the basis for an economy is just the first seed of our sprouting species. So when knowledge became the basis for an economic boom, then we started to pay attention to it. Right? We pay attention to what puts food on the table. So when knowledge became the thing that put food on the table, we started to value it more. And a knowledge age society is about a society where people crave new knowledge for more than just economic opportunity. See the difference? So when the economy was based on knowledge, that made people start to pay attention to it. As people paid attention to knowledge, they started to crave knowledge. Then it becomes that knowledge is the basis for more parts of your life other than work. And this would be about craving knowledge about themselves, about their own humanity, about life, about consciousness, about creativity, about everything. And that's what I'm talking about when I say the knowledge age is coming. And then after that would be what I'm calling the wisdom age. And this will be a society where the overwhelming majority of people are in stages 8, 9, 10, and 11, sort of 8 to 11, right in there. So this is a stage 9, 10 society. This type of society is focused on the wisdom of intuition, a more natural connection with the divine, and a mainstreaming of energy work. Intuition is, even today, considered important, right? They say, hey, listen to your gut. But we still base our decisions largely on data and provable fact. Now, in the wisdom age, intuition will take priority, while data and fact will be used to back it up. Intuition would be even taught in schools with the focus of honing your intuition skills, honing that gut instinct at an early age. Now, as society at large craves a deeper and more natural connection to the divine, we may see an evolution of religion away from organized brick-and-mortar-based hierarchies. See, at first, organized religion will be avoided or even rejected by many, and we're already heading in that direction, even pre-pandemic, in a bid for more natural internal connection to the divine. Now, this modern exodus has already begun in most Western countries. Now, seeing their revenues drop, many organized religions will eventually innovate new ways to help their devotees to find that natural internal connection to the divine while maintaining their original sacred texts, but not their original hierarchies necessarily. So such an evolution of organized religion to something that might be better described as distributed religion will have an interesting effect. And in my opinion, the pandemic has accelerated this, because if you can't go to the brick and mortar church, you are forced to find another way to nurture your own connection to the divine. So you have to do it in your home. But that pull to gather with other people is irresistible. So you gather in other people's homes and in parks and other beautiful natural surroundings in small groups. And that's what I'm talking about, distributed religion. We've been really accelerated towards that. But I think we're also going to see an interesting effect, which is the blending of many religions within a single household. So when in these later stages, the truth at the heart of all religions is far more important than the differences between religions. You might see, for example, a single family incorporate aspects of several different religions into their daily lives. Now, this is commonplace in many parts of Asia today. So if you're listening from well, pretty much anywhere in Asia, you're going, well, we already do that. Well, yeah, I know, you do. But the rest of the world doesn't yet. In Asia today, many families may blend aspects of Buddhism, Taoism, and Confucianism into their lives for a sort of a tailored, meaningful connection to the divine. And this is quite commonplace. Now, in the wisdom age, I don't think it will be strange to see aspects of Christianity, Islam, and Buddhism, for example, used within the same family for tailored, meaningful transitions. Now, that seems terribly long way off right now, but when the time comes, I think it will seem very natural. Energy work, let's talk about energy work, and its many forms, is already mainstream in some cultures. In Eastern cultures and in parts of South America, energy work for healing of all manner of emotional and physical ailments is not just common, it's expected. It's not just normal, but it'd be surprising to not have that available. Energy work in the form of Reiki, a Japanese tradition, was first introduced in the 1950s and 1960s, introduced to the United States and Western world. And it's since grown in popularity. Now, there are, as of this writing and of this podcast, over 1 million Reiki practitioners worldwide. And that's just Reiki. That's not even Qigong and shamanism and various other traditions. Imagine that. You're probably looking at a couple of million energy work practitioners worldwide. And just in the Reiki tradition, over 100,000 masters, including myself. Now, at this moment, many hospitals have incorporated Reiki energy work. I'm talking about Western hospitals, even U.S. hospitals in particular, creating energy work programs using volunteer practitioners who assist people who are recovering from surgery or are at the end of life or even at the beginning of life in the birthing suites. It's not so far-fetched that we would see this trend continue to increase to the point of seeing energy work fully incorporated into Western medicine and Western daily life, and to see it as a point of research for better understanding. So we see the beginnings of the wisdom age all around us in the Western world, and perhaps even more so in the Eastern world. Now, while the knowledge age will be a time of looking inward, the wisdom age would be a time of looking upwards and really entering and getting into that sense of holistic humanity and connection to oneness. Very exciting stuff. So that's kind of heavy stuff, but that's where I think we're going. That's where I think we're at. That's how I see us evolving. Things will pull us backwards. Pandemics will pull us backwards. War will pull us backwards. Anything that causes us to fear for our own needs will pull us backwards. Election seasons will temporarily pull us backwards, but this too shall pass. But that's where we're going. So the question is, where are you going? Where are you going with all of this? How do you want to fit into all of this? Get in your thoughts, questions, and ideas. Let me know where you think it's all going. I'd love to get extra perspectives. And if you have a question, I guarantee there are thousands of other people with the same question. So let me know how I can help. Keep doing what you do. Keep working on you. And as always, I'm wishing you, Parna Asati, complete connection.